This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How was the first day of the puasa? Tiring, huh? People see the energy is low. Jumu'ah is really difficult, tiring. As imagine you have to still give the Jumu'ah. And how difficult that is, subhanAllah. Oh, may Allah reward us and grant us, give us, you know, His mercy through this difficulty. As the month goes on, it will become a little easier. So this difficult period at the beginning, use it as you make dua and say, Ya Allah, it's for you. I'm suffering and struggling and doing it for your sake, Ya Allah. Please increase us in goodness. Ameen. We continue with our sign, Qiyamah, and we're speaking about the minor signs that the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned would occur before the coming of Qiyamah. One of the minor signs Allah mentions in the Quran, the splitting of the moon. And then an interesting hadith, which we ended off last night, the Prophet ﷺ says, before the coming of the hour, you will see six signs, count them, six of them. Firstly, number one, the death of the Nabi ﷺ, he says, I'm going to die. And then number two, you will conquer Jerusalem. And then number three, you would find that there would be a plague that would kill many of you. And number four, you would have a lot of wealth. A lot of wealth will come into the ummah to such an extent that you'd want more and it won't be enough. And then number five, there would be a tribulation, a fitna that would afflict every household. Everybody will be involved in this fitna. And then number six, a great war between the Muslims and the Bani Asfar, the yellow-skinned people, meaning the Caucasians, the Europeans. There will be a great war between Muslims and Europeans. And these are the six signs. Some of them we'll go into detail this evening, insha'Allah. Another sign of Qiyamah, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the hour will not be established until people, the Ummah, will go back to worshipping idols. Muslims will go back to worshipping idols. And there will appear 30 liars. 30 liars, all of them claiming to be prophets. There will be 30 false prophets. In another hadith, the Nabi says, there will be 30 dajjalun kathabun, 30 mini dajjals, calling themselves prophets until the last of them being the main dajjal. Dajjal means a deceiver, a liar, an imposter. And so, you would find 30 false prophets emerging. And again, subhanAllah, if you look at the history of Islam, from the death of the Nabi Sallam, automatically there arose, there sprung up many, many so-called prophets. Musaylama, the liar, was of the first of them, who came with some kind of Quran, and in the days of the Sahaba had to deal with him, and he died at the hands of the Sahaba. And there were many, many false prophets that followed. And until today, you have groups like the Qadianis, the Ahmadis, who follow a prophet that they claim to be a Nabi after Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas we believe without any doubt that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Khatam al-Nabiyyin. He is the finality. There is no more wahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no longer appoints prophets after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in fact, this point is so important because as we get closer to Qiyamah, you would find people with more strange claims and having fantastical abilities. And when we talk about Dajjal, he will have abilities. He will have abilities. And so in the time of Abu Hanifa rahimullah, Abu Hanif, the Hanafi Madhab, there was a man who claimed to be a prophet, and he had some kind of, you know, abilities, and people would go and see. And Abu Hanifa rahimullah said that anyone who goes and asks this man to show me of your miracles, just to ask him, makes you a kafir. Why? Because you're doubting the words of Nabi Sallam. You doubt the words of Allah when Allah said that there is no Nabi after Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So even to ask, even to go and look and inspect, unless of course you're trying to disprove this person, but we should be scared, we should be wary. As we get closer to Qiyamah, you'd find more and more people of miracles. And if you look at other religions, if you look at the big priests in Christianity, for example, many of them are so-called prophets, healers, people who communicate with God, and outside of Christianity as well, in the Hindu faith. And this we should be very, very afraid of within Islam, because this phenomenon will occur more and more and more. May Allah protect us. As the Nabi said, the Muslims would conquer Jerusalem. And subhanAllah, at the time when he mentioned that, the Muslims were few and insignificant, and they could not have imagined that they would conquer Jerusalem, which was a province of one of the greatest empire, the Roman Empire, the most powerful empire of the time. And subhanAllah, it would be as if though, more far-fetched, if the Nabi Sallallahu told us now, within the next 2-3 years, we would conquer, liberate Palestine from Israel. We would think that this is a bit far, not possible. It was even more impossible for the Sahaba. Yet we know in the 16th year of the Hijrah, 5 years after the Nabi Sallallahu passed away, when Jerusalem was conquered without any bloodshed, they surrendered and they called Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he was the Khalifa in Medina. They said to him, we will not surrender the city to anyone except to Umar, your Khalifa. And we know that beautiful story where Sayyidina Umar himself came on foot to Jerusalem. Him and his servant, they took turns riding on the camel, and they only had one camel between the two of them, so they shared it. When they got to Jerusalem, it was the turn of the servant to ride. And so he said to Sayyidina Umar, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, there's no way we can enter the city where I am riding the camel and you are walking. You are the Khalifa. Everyone is expecting you. So he said, no, that's our agreement. And that's how the Khalifa entered the city. His servant on the camel and Sayyidina Umar walking in. And he was dressed in such, subhanAllah, basic clothing that the generals, Khalid ibn Walid, they said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you cannot come to like this in front of the Romans. They're expecting Umar Khattab, this great man. They said, this is who I am. And like that, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, the city of Jerusalem became a Muslim city. And it was a Muslim city until the last 70 years, subhanAllah, under Muslim rule, with a little break between the Crusaders. They ruled it for about 100 years. But since then until now, subhanAllah, it has been under the domain of Islam, as the Nabi Sallam had prophesied. And other prophecies, like the conquest of Persia, there was another great empire, the Persian Empire, completely disintegrated under the time, in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. A very, very famous hadith where the Nabi Sallam was on the hijrah, escaping for his life from Makkah, sneaking out of Makkah, and he was almost captured by a hunter called Suraqa. And the Nabi said to Suraqa, how are you still a non-Muslim, Suraqa, where one day you will wear the jewelry of the emperor of Persia? Suraqa said, what are you talking about? I'm going to wear the jewelry. It's like someone says, you are going to wear the jewelry of Vladimir Putin. How are you still not speaking Russian? He said, what are you talking about? 10 years, 15 years later, the Muslims would conquer Persia. And the treasure of the throne room of the Persians was brought to the Masjid of Medina. And Sayyidina Umar is called Suraqa, come. As the Nabi had prophesied, you would wear the bracelets of the emperor of Persia. Subhanallah. These prophecies, could not have come from anyone other than a Nabi. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was meeting with a tribal chief, Adi radiallahu anhi. Wasn't he a Muslim? He was a Christian. And Adi comes to Medina and he says to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi, how is it that you are right? Look at you. Your people are like so backward, so poor, where we have the Romans and the Persians. How is it possible that you could be on the haq and they are not on the haq? So the Prophet ﷺ said, just wait, you will live to see, and close to Qiyamah, this deen will become so established that we will rule over the entire Arabian Peninsula. A lady would walk from Yemen to Mecca all by herself on Hajj, and she wouldn't fear anything. At that time, women were even killed, buried alive. And this came through Adi, lived to say, and now I see it coming to the truth. As Islam became more and more established in the land, people would freely move between different cities. Then, subhanAllah, one of the signs of Qiyamah actually is the death of Sayyidina Umar. Hudhayfa, and in this whole science of what we call istiqology, right? We're talking about the signs of Qiyamah, the end times. The Sahabi that knows the most about this is Sahabi by the name of Hudhayfa. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. Hudhayfa says that the other Sahaba asked about the good things. What dhikr must I make? How many rakas must I make here? But I asked about the weird things, about Dajjal, about Qiyamah. I asked about those things because I wanted to know about the strange stuff. And so he would have information. So Sayyidina Umar asked, Hudhayfa says, while we're sitting with Umar, Umar is the Khalifa now, we conquered Persia, we conquered Jerusalem, so Sayyidina Umar is the Khalifa, he's the man. He says, who amongst you, Sayyidina Umar is asking, who amongst you remember the words about the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talking about the fitna, the tribulations? And so Hudhayfa said, the affliction that there will be, a man will be afflicted in his family, and Allah will test him in his family, Allah will test him in his property, in his children, and his neighbors, and what would save him from all these tests is his salah and his zakah and doing good deeds. So Sayyidina Umar said, I'm not talking about those, individual tribulations. I'm talking about the big affliction, meaning the big things, the big signs. The afflictions which will move like the waves on the ocean. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said to Sayyidina Umar, why are you asking about this? Don't worry about it, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. For those afflictions upon the Ummah are locked behind a door. They are waiting to come out, but they are locked behind a door. The Nabi Sallam told me that they're basically behind a door. And so Umar said, will that door be broken or will it be opened? So Hudhayfa said, no, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, it is going to be broken. Once it's opened, it can't close again. And then it will never ever close again. So Hudhayfa is telling his students. Then the students asked Hudhayfa, did Umar know about this door, what it meant? So Hudhayfa, they're asking Hudhayfa, did they know that this the idea of the door is obviously a metaphor for what? And so Hudhayfa said, yes, Sayyidina Umar knew what I was talking about. Yes, I know that there will be a night before tomorrow morning. That's because this was narrated to him. So they asked, what is the door? Sayyidina Hudhayfa said, the door that is preventing the fitna is Umar. When he dies, and he was, when he's assassinated, that's when the fitna and the tribulation will begin. And so it is just as the Prophet had predicted, when Sayyidina Umar was assassinated by a non-Muslim, the tribulations began to fall the Muslims, and since then it has just escalated from there. The plague, the Nabi ﷺ spoke about this plague that would affect the people. And in our 1,400 years, there have been a number of plagues. The most famous plague was at the time of the Sahaba. It's called the plague of Al-Amwas, where many of the Sahaba, Khalid and Walid, many of them passed away in this plague during the conquest of Sayyidina Umar, the plague of Al-Amwas. And it's the plague that gets the most attention in the books of history. And they mention this is the plague that Nabi spoke about. But there was a plague that followed, which was far more devastating. What plague? COVID-19? No, the Black Death, right? The Black Death, which occurred, you know, about 700 years ago, where 1/3 of the world's population died. The bubonic plague, the Black Death. And as time goes on, we know that these plagues become more and more, the occurrences increases. Of course, medicine also increases, but the Nabi ﷺ predicted a huge plague would befall the Muslim world and many, many would die. It could be the plague of Al-Amwas, or it could be the Black Death, or it could be something else. Allahu A'lam knows best. The Nabi ﷺ says there'll be a huge battle between two sides, two Muslims, and they would be unified through Hassan radiallahu anh. Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing Jumu'ah. And in walks into the masjid, his grandson Hassan, small boy, and he falls down. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stops the Jumu'ah, and he walks down and he picks his grandson up, and he says, my ummah, this is a Sayyid amongst you, because he will bring unity to the ummah at a time when there would be a major civil war. And close to Qiyamah, there will be the civil war. And as we know, unfortunately, very sadly, between the Sahaba, there was a civil war between Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anh. And eventually, how did this civil war come to an end? Hassan radiallahu anh, he brought unity to both sides. And that is of the signs of Qiyamah. We jump to to number 11, and then we'll go back to number 10. We change the order. The Mongolian invasion. The Nabi says, the hour will not be established. Qiyamah is not going to happen until you fight the Turks. Now, Turkey is not really, so I must talk a bit of history. Turkey, the country Turkey, was originally, it's European. And the Romans, the Byzantines, the Constantinople, is a European city. But the Turks are a group of people that live around Mongolian area. Eventually they conquered, we'll talk about this now, they conquered Istanbul, and they settled there, and they made it into Turkey. So when the Nabi says, you will fight the Turks, he's not talking about Turkey that we know about Turkey now. The Turks were people that lived around Mongolia. So the Nabi says, the hour will not happen until you fight against, basically, Mongolians. They have small eyes and red faces, and they have flat noses. Their faces are like hammers and shields. And again, the hour will not be established until you fight these people, and they are wearing shoes that are made of fur. Now, subhanAllah, one of the dates you need to remember, 1258. 1258 was perhaps one of the most devastating moments in our history. In our history, one of the worst moments in our history, our capital, Baghdad, it was the New York of the world at that time. The Khalifa was there, the biggest libraries in the world were there, the best technology was there. And then Genghis Khan, or the descendants, his sons, they came to Baghdad and they demanded the city be handed over. The Khalifa, who was arrogant, said to them, there's no way you barbarians would ever conquer Baghdad. But of course, as Allah had decreed, The Mongolians were a completely different type of enemy. And as the Nabi had mentioned, they basically surrounded and besieged the city of Baghdad. And they entered it and they destroyed the city within 40 days. They had killed 1 million people with a sword. And they had trampled the Khalifa to death. And the Euphrates River ran red with the blood of the people and eventually black with the ink. All the books that they found in the library, they dumped it. Baghdad was the most populous city in the world. Overnight, basically in 1 month, it became ruins completely. And so this was one of the big catastrophes. In fact, the ulama at that time believed this was Ya'juj and Ma'juj. They said, this is Ya'juj and Ma'juj. We cannot fight them. We cannot defeat them. Every city that they came from Mongolia all the way to Egypt, they destroyed every Muslim city. Subhanallah. But the Muslim Ummah would revive. And now we go back to number 10. Because basically 200 years after that, the Muslim Ummah had survived. And many of those Mongolians, those Turks, became Muslim. Those same Turks would eventually become Muslim. And it's this group of people that would eventually form the Ottoman, the Uthmani Empire. And in 1458, dates are not important, but in 1458, the army of the Sultan Mehmed I, those of you who went to Istanbul would know, that they took over the city of the Constantinople. And from the time of the Nabi Sallam, he had mentioned one of the signs of Qiyamah would be that Constantinople would fall to the Muslims. Constantinople is like the Mecca of Christianity at that time. And even the Sahaba had tried to conquer it, but not a single army for 1,000 years could conquer Constantinople. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Mehmet, Muhammad al-Fatih, the second in 1458 to conquer the city of Constantinople, and today we call it Istanbul. Those of you who go there, you'd see the Hagia Sophia, which was the biggest church in the world for almost 2,000 years. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, it's still standing. We didn't destroy it. It remains in its place. And so these signs could not have been mentioned by chance or by luck, but these are things that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had mentioned precisely. And subhanallah, as we go through, we'll get to, inshallah, other signs which we are seeing happening in our time. As we said, the ulama have shown that there are certain signs the Prophet had predicted you would see unfolding in your lifetime. And for the first time, many of these things has only been happening in the last 30, 40 years. May Allah protect us. And so inshallah, we continue with the signs tomorrow, bi-ithnillah. We will move to the spot prize, the quiz. So last night we asked, the Prophet ﷺ said, count six things which indicate the approach of Qiyamah. Which of them is not one of the six? So we said the number, which one is it? C. The Nabi ﷺ didn't say splitting of the moon. That is in the Quran. And so whoever filled out the prize, we're going to see between the brothers and the sisters. So let's start here. Abdul Raqib. Okay, now. Ismail. Ismail, mashallah. Mashallah, you win. Let's see for the sisters. There's no sisters here, subhanAllah. Oh, look for nice handwriting. Okay. Wahiba Friedrichs. Okay, yeah. Okay, mashallah. So, Maimoon, you can give the prize. And then, inshallah, the question for tonight's quiz, question. Is it on the board? In which year did the Muslims conquer Constantinople? 1353, 1453, 1553, or 1653? Which year did the Muslims conquer Constantinople? Inshallah, Mehmed I or the second, which year did he conquer? Jazakallah khair, wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.